Thanks for listening to this week's Wellspring Church podcast as Pastor Trey Kelly leads us in the series Pit to Promise.
All right, we are wrapping up our series today called Pit to Promise. And if you haven't been here for any of this series, if you're a guest today or you missed a couple of weeks, let me kind of very briefly kind of bring you up to speed and where we've been. This series is about struggles. This series is about the pits in your life. It's about the low points. It's about the dark spaces. It's about when you get betrayed, when you get rejected, when you have failure and you fall into a pit, right? You have them. I have them. We all have them. And what we've been talking about through this entire series is, okay, what do we do when the pits of life happen? Because as we said week one, they're going to happen. What are we going to do about it? And rather than say what I think you should do, we've been looking at a story from the book of Genesis, which is the first book in our Bible. And it's a story of this man named Joseph. Because Joseph's life was full of pits. Joseph was the 11th son of a man named Jacob. He had 10 older brothers and he had one older sister. And he was Jacob's favorite son. And his brothers resented him for it. They were jealous of him. And eventually they decide to kill him. They think better of killing him. And they end up selling Joseph into slavery. As siblings do. And so they sell him into slavery. He's taken to the land of Egypt where he's bought by a man named Potiphar. Who was a very powerful man in the nation of Egypt. He was the captain of the guard of Pharaoh's army. And so, powerful man, but Joseph is a slave in his house. But Joseph chooses to cling to God and do his best. And we see Joseph rise through the ranks of Potiphar's house. He ends up running Potiphar's household until Mrs. Potiphar decides she's going to start hitting on Joseph. And Joseph says, no, thank you, ma'am. That would be inappropriate. And so Mrs. Potiphar gets a feelings hurt. She lies about Joseph. She accuses Joseph of attacking her. And Joseph gets thrown into prison. So he gets thrown back into a pit. Well, he gets in prison. And turns out the prison warden enjoys Joseph, thinks highly of him, sees how God's hand is working in his life. So Joseph starts running the prison. I mean, not the best thing you could get, but hey, beats just, you know, being a normal prisoner in prison. So he's running the prison. He meets these two guys who have these dreams. Joseph helps interpret their dreams. One of those gets a really good interpretation. You're getting out in 3 days. The other guy gets a really bad interpretation. You're going to die in 3 days. 3 days later comes. One guy dies. Not much he can do. But the guy who gets out, Joseph said, hey, when you get out, would you mind telling Pharaoh that I'm in here? And that I was kidnapped, and that I've been lied about, and I don't belong here. And this guy was Pharaoh's chief cupbearer. He was like one of his closest advisors. So the guy's like, dude, I'm going to hook you up, man. You know it. I'm going to take care of you. It's going to be awesome. Dude walks out of prison, completely forgets about Joseph. And that's where we left Joseph last week, right? That's where we left him. And what we learned last week was that Joseph, even though he was in the pit, even though he was in the pit of prison, he decided to step into somebody else's pit. And that's what I challenge you to do this week. I challenge you to look back on some of the patterns maybe you've discovered in your pits, some of the patterns you've discovered that maybe God taught you, and say, hey, who, even though you're in the pit, who can you bless while you're going through your struggles? And the reason I said that is because I know the end of the story. And what I know is that when Joseph, when he stepped into their pit, he positioned himself for God's promise. See, it wasn't just as simply, hey, I'm going to help you out. It was, I'm going to honor God. I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to try to help other people. And how many of you know, anytime you obey God in your life, you position yourself for his promise. You position yourself for his blessing and for his favor. And that's what Joseph had done. Now, what happens is, the cupbearer, he takes off, forgets all about Joseph. And so you may say, well, how did he position himself for God's promise? Well, if you remember, I told you last week, I kind of gave you a sneak preview. 2 full years later, Joseph waited 2 years in prison. Let's say that again, 2 years. And then Pharaoh dreamed. Pharaoh had a dream. Pharaoh, the leader of the nation of Israel, I mean of Egypt. Pharaoh, a god in his own mind, in the minds of his people, had a dream. He dreamed he was standing on the bank of the Nile River, and in his dream he saw 7 fat, healthy cows come up out of the river and begin grazing in the marsh grass. And then he saw seven more cows come up behind them from the Nile. But these were scrawny and thin, and these cows stood beside the fat cows on the riverbank. Then the scrawny, thin cows ate the seven healthy, fat cows. And at this point in the dream, Pharaoh woke up, but he fell asleep again. And he had a second dream. The second dream was exactly like the first. He said this time without it wasn't cows, so it was grain. So Pharaoh starts having these dreams. And Pharaoh doesn't understand these dreams. And Pharaoh doesn't know what to do with these dreams. So the next morning, Pharaoh was very disturbed by the dream. So he called for all the magicians and wise men of Egypt. And when Pharaoh told them his dream, not one of them could tell him what they meant. Now, when Joseph decided to step in to the cupbearer's pit, he had no idea he was positioning himself for God's promise. He didn't know Pharaoh was going to have a dream. He didn't know. You know what he knew? He knew my God's in charge. He loves me. He's going to protect me. He's got my best interest at heart. So rather than wallowing in self-pity here, I'm going to continue to serve God. And even in the pits of my life, if I can help somebody else, I'm going to do it. Because God has my back. Now, I know for some of you, you're here today and you don't even believe in God. So that sounds insane to you. And first of all, man, welcome. We're so glad you're here. Wellspring was designed for you. And if you don't believe in God today, I want you to know you're sitting in a safe place. You're free to sit and to kind of kick the tires of faith and kind of investigate. But I want you to know, even if you don't believe in God, you're sharing a row with somebody who does. And I'd be willing to bet you're probably sharing a row with somebody who's experienced what we're talking about today. But even if they haven't, the reason we're looking at Joseph's story is because the same God that moved through the life of Joseph is alive and ready to move through your life as well, if you simply invite him in. So, let's see what happens, all right? 2 full years later have gone by. Pharaoh has these dreams. He doesn't really know what to do. And then finally, the king's chief cupbearer spoke up. Today, I have been reminded of my failure, he told Pharaoh. 2 years later, he's sitting there hearing about dreams, and it's like, boom! Oh, dude. Oh, Pharaoh, man. I have blown it. Man, there was this guy named Joseph, really cool dude. Yeah, he was awesome. Where did I meet him? Remember when you sent me to jail? Yeah, that's where I met him. And he tells him about, hey, I had these dreams, and he told me what the dream was gonna, what he told me what it meant, and I was just thinking, you know, maybe he can help you too. Well, Pharaoh sounded interested, so Pharaoh sent for Joseph at once, and he was quickly brought to the prison after he shaved and changed his clothes, because you gotta look sharp if you're gonna meet with Pharaoh. You can't look all nasty and prison-y if you go meet with Pharaoh. You got to be clean. And so he went and stood before Pharaoh. And then Pharaoh said to Joseph, I had a dream last night, and no one here can tell me what it means. But I've heard that when you hear about a dream, you can interpret it. This is why I say, when he stepped into their pit, he positioned himself for God's promise. Joseph doesn't help these men in prison. He doesn't have this conversation. Period. Absolutely no way it happens. But he did. And now he's in a position of power. He's before Pharaoh. Pharaoh needs something from Joseph. If it's me and you, what are we doing? We're saying, all right, Pharaoh, let's make a deal. I will tell you what your dream means as long as I need a helicopter, $1 million in unmarked bills, and when I'm out of the country, I'll tell you what it means, right? Like, we are negotiating with Pharaoh. We're getting there, and we're saying, all right, buddy, let's go. But that's not what Joseph does. Joseph is there. He's been in prison now. How long has he been in prison? 13 years. He's been 13 years away from home. At least 13 years. Hasn't seen his family. He has all this power. Pharaoh needs his help. I want you to see what Joseph says. It is beyond my power to do this. Now, you know, cupbearers over here saying, what? What? Dude, I hooked you up. What do you mean it's beyond? What are you doing? And Pharaoh's sitting there looking at the cupbearer. What has happened? But Joseph isn't done. Here's what Joseph says. He says, it is beyond my power to do this. But God can tell you what it means and set you at ease. See, this is why we're studying the life of Joseph. Because even in this moment, when he has all the power, when he has all the control, when it's finally in his hands, what does he do? He gives God the praise. And he gives God the glory. I wonder, who will get the praise for your path out of the pit? Who's going to get the praise? See, if you're in a pit right now, you're going to get out. You're going to get past it. You're going to move on. Your life's going to improve. You're going to look back on those struggles, and you're going to say, yes, that was good. But, I mean, I'm glad that happened because it positioned me for this. And you're going to move on with your life. Who's going to get the praise for that? Who's going to get the praise for your path out of the pit? See, it's funny. We always tend to blame God for the problems and then give ourselves the credit for the cure. But see, Joseph knew you couldn't do that. Joseph understood that it was God that was with me in the pit, and it was God that brought me out of the pit. So even standing before Pharaoh, who himself thought he was a god, to claim you believed in another god outside of Pharaoh could have resulted in execution. But Joseph had to be true to what he knew. Joseph knew, I don't have the power to do these things. It's God in me that can do these things. How many of you are aware that every gift and strength and talent you have that you use to accomplish what you do in your life, it is not really you, it is God in you. Because he gave you those things. That's what our boy Joseph gets. And see, what he gets is actually a point I want you to see today. And I'm going to reveal it to you now. You're not going to understand it, and that's okay because we've got some time left. But you're not really going to understand what this point is. But we're going to see it revealed as we go through a little more of Joseph's life. Because the biggest thing that sticks out to me is I read the end of this story. And I'll go ahead and tell you right now, the end of the story is the reason we're doing the entire thing. In fact, one of the last things Joseph ever says, one of the last things we ever have recorded that I'm going to reveal to you at the end of our time, is the entire reason we're doing this entire series. But here's the point I want you to see. Sometimes our praise produces the promise. Sometimes it is the praise we give God as we exit the pit that produces the promise he's given us, that he's going to work all things together for the good in our life and in other people's lives. I know you don't understand it yet, but that's okay. We're not done. Let's continue reading the story. So what happens is Pharaoh told Joseph his dream. He tells him his dream. And Joseph says, okay, both of Pharaoh's dreams mean the same thing. God is telling Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. In other words, this dream is a promise. It's a promise from God. He's like, hey, this is what I'm about to do. He says, the next 7 years will be a period of great prosperity throughout the land of Egypt. But afterward, there will be 7 years of famine so great that all the prosperity will be forgotten in Egypt, and famine will destroy the land. So there you go. It's a 14-year forecast. God's saying the next 7 years are going to be amazing. But after that, the next 7 years are going to be so bad, you're going to forget all about the good years. And at this point, Joseph's a little bold. The Holy Spirit is speaking through him. God is speaking through him. And so Joseph makes a suggestion. He says, hey, here's what I think you should do. To me, the reason God's telling you this is so that we can prepare, and so that we can be ready for the bad 7 years. So what Pharaoh should do is you should pick a man, wink, wink, you should pick a man who can be in charge of the planning and be in charge of the organization of this so that we plan for the next 7 years of prosperity so that we have enough for the 7 years of famine. And Pharaoh likes the idea. Pharaoh said to Joseph, Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. Sorry, I got like 50 verses to read this week, and I just want you to know it was my fault. I wasn't our boys back there. Sometimes I throw them under the bus. But it's not. It was my fault. I skipped ahead. Joseph's suggestions were well received by Pharaoh and his officials. So Pharaoh asked his officials, can we find anyone else like this man So obviously filled with the Spirit of God. Think about that. Pharaoh didn't even believe in Joseph's God. Pharaoh thought he was God. Yet the way Joseph carried himself and the way Joseph spoke of God and the way Joseph gave the praise to his God and the way Joseph made sure it is not me, it is my God through me that is doing these things, even Pharaoh noticed. Do you know that the God of the universe wants to move the same way through your life? In the good times, in the bad, in the pits and the promises. And all we have to do is give him the praise. All we have to do is point to him in our successes. All we have to do is remind others and ourselves that it is not us, it is God through us that accomplishes these things. And that's exactly what Joseph does. And that praise led to a promise better than Joseph ever could have imagined. Look what happens next. Then Pharaoh said to Joseph, "Since God has revealed the meaning of the dreams of you, clearly no one else is intelligent or smart, as intelligent or wise as you are. You will be," kind of a recurring theme in Joseph's life, "in charge of my court. And all my people will take orders from you. Only I, sitting on my throne, will have a rank higher than yours." Now it took 13 years from when his brothers sold him into slavery. But that's quite a promise. Here's my question. Are you willing to endure the pit you're in right now if this is the promise God wants to deliver? And I don't mean the power. I don't mean the prestige. I mean the purpose. See, God has a purpose for your life. And even though God didn't cause the pit, even though God didn't cause the struggle, he's got a purpose for the struggle. And that purpose is not only to fulfill his promise in your life and to make your life work out for the good. It's to make good happen in the lives of those around you. See, what happened here in the life of Joseph is he discovered that there was purpose in his pit, but there was also power in his praise. Because he saw fit to praise God in the moment, he understood what we were talking about, that sometimes our praise produces the promise. He praised God in the moment. Pharaoh saw that. So God put him in a position to radically rescue the entire land of Egypt. See, what happens is Joseph, as he comes out of his pit, because he embraced the lessons he learned in his pit, because he understood that God was in control and he gave God the praise on the way out of his pit, Joseph gets to move to the purpose of the pit. And the purpose of the pit was pit prevention. He begins engaging in pit prevention for the entire nation of Egypt. He gets to prevent 7 years of famine. He gets to prevent one of the worst pits they'd ever experienced. God uses him to prevent it. Look what happens. As predicted, for 7 years, the land produced bumper crops. During those years, Joseph gathered all the crops in Egypt and stored the grain from the surrounding fields in the cities. The plan's working. Joseph makes preparations for 7 years, and then the 7 years of famine began. Just as Joseph had predicted, the famine also struck all the surrounding countries, but throughout Egypt, there was plenty of food. See, the purpose of Joseph's pit was to prevent pit from happening in the life of others. See, for some of you, the purpose of your pain, the purpose of your struggle, the purpose of your heartbreak is that you would learn lessons in it and that you would cling to God through it. And so when God brought you out of it, he could then use you to prevent the same pain and the same hurt and the same problems in the life of others. Last week, I challenged you even in your pit to see if you could help people. Now, those of you who are come out of your pit, who can you go back and rescue? And you may say, Trey, I've tried that. I've got friends and I've got family and I've got neighbors and I've got coworkers, and I give them advice all the time and I try to coach them and I try to tell them what to do and I try to show them and they just won't listen. Well, that's nice, but I'm not talking about advice. I didn't say sometimes advice produces the promise. I said sometimes praise produces the promise. See, they don't need to hear your advice. They don't need to hear what they should do. They need to hear your story. And they need to hear your praise. They need to hear you stand before them and say, hey, I was where you were. I've been through this before. God brought me out of it, and that same God can bring you out of it. I can't bring you out of it. Your mama can't bring you out of it. Your grandma can't bring you out of it. Dr. Phil can't bring you out of it. Oprah can't bring you out of it. Nobody can bring you out of it, but my God can bring you out of it because he brought me out of it. See, sometimes it's our praise that produces the promise. And it's almost like God planned this. Wouldn't you know it that next week is Easter Sunday. Next week is the Sunday when everybody in your life is at least going to consider going to church. So maybe the purpose of this entire series in your life is because right now God's bringing somebody to mind. They don't need to hear your advice. They need to hear your praise. You need to sit down. You need to take them to lunch. And I mean take them to lunch. Don't split lunch. Don't go Dutch. Take them to lunch. If you can't afford it, make some sandwiches and have lunch at work. I don't know. But sit them down. Say, hey, I'm not going to give you one piece of advice today. I just want to tell you my story. And I want to tell you that it was only God who brought me through that. And if you're open, if you'd like to discover and learn about the same God I'm talking about, I would love for you to join me this Easter at Wellspring Church. See, sometimes it's our praise that produces the promise. Because what we have to understand and what Joseph understood was that our praise can prevent their pit. Our stories, our praise, our pointing them to God, they can be rescued before they make the mistakes we've made. They can learn lessons the easy way. Isn't that the hope all parents have for their kids? Please just learn the lesson the easy way. Please learn it the easy way. And they don't. But that's what we all hope, right? We want them to learn it the easy way. See, God used Joseph's pit and Joseph's praise to rescue an entire nation. What could God do through each and every one of us as we begin to embrace the fact that he's in control, and that no matter what happens in our life, he can work it all for good, for the good of us and for the good of others. See, Joseph understood this. Joseph embraced this, and more good came of it than he could have ever thought possible, because Joseph's story isn't over. See, Joseph rescued the nation of Egypt, but as we saw in the last verse, the surrounding lands were still struggling. So people from all around came to Egypt to buy grain from Joseph because the famine was severe throughout the world. And guess who gets hungry? When Jacob, that's Joseph's dad, when Jacob heard that grain was available in Egypt, he said to his sons, you remember them, the ones who started it all, why are you standing around looking at one another? They've really improved in 13 years, as you can see. Well, it's 20 years now. He says, I've heard that there's grain in Egypt. Go down there and buy enough grain to keep us alive. Otherwise, we'll die. And yes, this is going to end exactly like you think it's going to end. It's going to be fantastic. So, since Joseph was governor of all of Egypt and in charge of selling grain to all the people, it was to him that his brothers came. This is amazing. When they arrived, they bowed before him with their faces to the ground. And if you've been around for the series, you know there was a dream Joseph had when he was 17 years old that started this whole thing. And the dream was that his brothers were bowing down to him and they tried to kill him for it. And here they are, bowed down. See, that dream was a promise. And God keeps his promises. But we're not done. We're not done. And although Joseph recognized his brothers, they didn't recognize him. Well, of course. I mean, you see your brothers, but they aren't expecting to see their brother running the nation of Egypt. They didn't recognize him. And he remembered the dreams he'd had about them many years before. Now, I'm just going to tell you, we have to skip ahead because there's a lot that goes on in this meantime, right? Joseph kind of wrestles with what to do. We actually see Joseph kind of testing his brothers out a little bit. He kind of wants to know if they have become better men than they were when they first, you know, tried to kill him and sell him into slavery. And what Joseph actually discovers is they have. He discovers that they have deep guilt and deep regret over what they did. They've kind of been struggling with it for 20 years. And so Joseph has a choice to make, and it's a choice we all have to make, because there's going to come a time in your life where you are going to be confronted face to face with the person or the people that caused your pit. You may even have a chance where you are in power over the person that caused your pit. And Joseph had a question that he had to answer. And I want you to answer the same thing in your mind right now. I want you to decide right now. When you come face to face with the person that caused your pit, with the person that caused your pain, with the person that hurt you, with the person that betrayed you, with the person that lied about you, with the person that stole from you, that caused that pain in that pit, will you punish them for your pit? Or will you praise God for his promise? Because you cannot do both. Joseph had to decide, am I going to punish these guys for the pit? Or, even here, even now, am I going to praise God for his promise? Well, obviously we've been studying Joseph because he's an example for all of us. And Joseph gets this right. Joseph embraces plan B. He embraces the idea that, hey man, God was in charge. I'm going to embrace God. I'm going to embrace his promise. And so we skip ahead, and in Genesis 45, we see him. He says, I am Joseph. He said this to his brothers. Now, I just want you to imagine, can you imagine you're the brothers right now, and you're here, and you've been begging him to help you, and you need his help, you need his food. And he's like, oh, by the way, I'm the dude you tried to kill and sell into slavery. At that point, if it were me, I would just drop the mic. Get them, is what I would say. But we're not done. Here's what Joseph says. He said again, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into slavery. And we're all thinking, the next line is, and say hello to my little friend. That's what we would do, right? We're like, man, God has brought you before me so I can destroy you. Watch what Joseph says. I'm telling you, the end of this is the reason we're reading the whole thing. Watch what Joseph says. He says, but don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. He lets them off the hook. He says, hey, don't beat yourself up. Don't blame yourself. Look what he said. Or you wonder how in the world could he say this? How in the world could Joseph in this moment say, don't blame yourselves. Don't be upset with yourself. Of course they should blame themselves. They did all this. They caused all this evil. And it was because even before it was written, because Joseph had a relationship with God, he knew the promise God was going to give to us through his servant Paul. Thousands of years later, the promise that we've been clinging to this entire series, this promise we're told in the book of Romans, it says, we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose for them. See, it really puts that everything into perspective, doesn't it? Everything. Betrayal by your siblings. Attempted murder. Lie upon lie upon lie. Being abandoned in prison. Joseph doesn't worry about his perspective in the pit. So we all have the perspective in the pit. What I want you to see today is I want you to have the perspective of the promise. See, we can all wallow in the pit, or we can take the perspective of God's promise. And what Joseph knew in his heart, thousands of years before it was written, was that God can cause everything to work together for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. It's how Joseph could say these words, "Don't be upset and don't be angry with yourselves for selling me to this place. It was God who sent me here ahead of you to preserve your lives." No, it wasn't. We've read the story. It was the brothers who sold him into slavery. God did not do that. But see, when you have the perspective of the promise, it doesn't matter who caused it. It doesn't matter the reason it began. All that matters is the promise on the other side and the amazing work God has done through you, because God is good. And because God can cause and work any situation out for your good. And he said this. He said, "God has sent me ahead of you to keep you and your families alive and to preserve many survivors." Remember what I said. Sometimes our praise produces the promise. See, what's happening is here is Joseph's praise is producing a promise in his brother's life. Because, see, they were living in a pit, too. They lived in a 20-year pit of guilt and shame and regret over what they'd done. Every bad thing that happened to them for the last 20 years, they would say, "Well, it's because of what we did to Joseph. It's because of what we did to Joseph." They were just living in guilt and shame and pain. And Joseph says, no. Let me praise God for what he's done. And that praise produces a promise in the brothers' lives. Now, I want you to think about the people in your life. The people that have caused your pain. The people that have caused your pit. See, you're on the other side. And you don't think about them, and you don't think they regret it or that they feel guilt, but they do, because everybody does. They feel guilty about what they did to you. They know they were wrong. What if part of God's purpose for your pit, and what if part of God's plan for your praise is to set free the very people that caused your pit in the first place? And you say, "Trey, that's too much to ask. That's too far." And okay, that's... It wasn't for Joseph. And that's why we're reading his story. Because see, what ends up happening is Joseph's entire family ends up moving to Egypt. And his dad's alive, and all the brothers come. But the brothers kind of keep one eye on Joseph, because they think as long as dad's alive, Joseph's never going to take his revenge. But then Jacob dies. And in the last chapter of the book of Genesis, the brothers come back to Joseph again, now that Jacob's dead, and they're like, "Mr. Joseph, sir, you know, dad told us before he died that you weren't supposed to do anything to us. So, you got to do what dad wants." And Joseph brings them close. And Joseph says one of the most remarkable things I believe has ever been recorded in human history. And what Joseph says to them, I tell you, is the entire reason we did this series. Because if we can embrace the perspective Joseph has here, it has the power to change everything. Because what Joseph says to the brothers in this moment, when his dad's dead, he's still in charge of Egypt. He can do whatever he wants. His brothers come to him and say, okay, now that dad's gone, please don't hurt us. Please don't take out any revenge. Joseph meant what he said years ago, but the brothers didn't get it. And so Joseph looks at them and he says, okay, you're right. You intended to harm me. He's kind of got a little more perspective himself. Now, he's not saying God caused it anymore. He's saying, look, you intended to harm me. You intended me pain. You intended to hurt me. You intended to do bad things to me. You planned to crush me. You intended to harm me. But the next thing he says, it was true for Joseph and it's true for you. And it's true for every single one of us who decides to give our life to Jesus and have a relationship with him. He says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. He brought me to this position so I could save the lives of many people. Can you imagine the freedom? Can you imagine the joy? Can you imagine the weight that would be lifted off your shoulders if you could truly accept the fact that the God that moved in Joseph's life wants to move in yours, and that you can say this to be true? You intended to harm me, but God intended it all for good. No matter what happens, no matter what is done, no matter what you meant, no matter the pit you put me in, my God had a purpose. And he intended it all for good. Can you imagine the power in your life when you begin to embrace that truth? How you can walk through the pain and the struggles because you know that to be true? Can you imagine the power as you share that story with other people? As we've been saying the whole time, sometimes our praise produces the promise. And see, what that means for you today is two pretty distinct things. For some of you, God is just simply inviting you to praise him to the people in your life that need to know about it, the people who are struggling. We all have people who are in pits or heading towards them, and they don't need your advice. They don't need you to tell them what to do. They just simply need to hear your story. They need to hear your praise. They need to hear you brag on God. They need to hear you say, hey, this is what God did in my life. And I'd love for you to come back and join me so we can do it in yours. Now, for others of you, God is asking a much more difficult thing. God is not asking you to speak to the friend or the neighbor. God's asking you to speak to the enemy. He's asking you to speak to the very person that caused your pain. He's asking you to speak to the very person that caused your pit. Can you imagine the power in sitting down with that ex-spouse, with that boss that fired you for no reason, with that coworker that stole from you, with that teacher that did you wrong, with that coach that did you wrong, with that neighbor that lied? I don't know what it is, but you've all had people in your life cause the pits in your life. Could you imagine the power that would come from your praise if you sat down with them and said, hey, I just want you to know, you intended to harm me, but my God intended it for good. And here's the good that's come out of it. And here's what my God has done because of it. And I want you to know, I hold no ill will towards you. I forgive you. And I want the best for your life. What do you think would happen if we became people that embraced that promise? If we became people that embraced the fact that even in our pits, God is alive and working and has the power to set us free. So that's my challenge for you today. Don't be people of the pit. be people of the promise. Don't hold on to the pit. Hold on to the promise. And let your praise produce a promise in other people. Let your praise lead to pit prevention in other people's lives. Not as you give them your advice about what you did, but as you brag on who God is and what He did. To your friends and family, and even to those who hurt you the most. Follow the example of Joseph. Embrace the idea that even though they intended it for bad, God was in charge. And God's turned it into good. And if He hasn't yet, just cling tight. And He will. Because the same God that moved through Joseph's life is ready to move through yours. So as we close today, I just want to pray over you. And as your pastor, I want you to understand that God's not done with you. God has a purpose for your pit. He has a purpose for your pain. And if you cling to Him, you believe in His promise, He's going to bring you through. And if you allow Him, He's going to use you to change the world. Let me pray for you. God, we love You so much. And we just thank You that You are so true and that Your Word is so real. And that we can study the life of Joseph and we can know exactly what You want for us. Father, I pray right now that our praise will produce the promise. That we will go out and talk about You and brag on You and share all the amazing things You've done. And that we will then invite people to come back with us next week on Easter Sunday so that they themselves can begin to experience Your promise for their life. And You can begin to use them to reach even more people so that we all may be not people of the pit, but people of Your promise. We love You, Father. It's in Your Son's amazing name we pray. Amen.
Thanks for joining us this week for the Wellspring Church podcast. For more information, sermon downloads, and more, visit us at wellspringchurch.tv.